RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King-Robson, founder of EmpowHer.com, cut through the confusion to discuss all things her. This is Her Radio on RadioMD.
Well, Michelle, I know you and I have talked about this segment. This is going to be amazing, and we are really thrilled and honored to have on this segment three-time Olympian and author Susie Faber-Hamilton, someone whose sports career I have followed for years because I'm a triathlete, and I really honor her incredible journey. And this is not about being an Olympian. This is about something that happened to Susie that she writes about in her new book, Fast Girl, A Life Spent Running from Madness. And this has been splayed across multimedia now, and people really talking now about women, mental illness, and how this affected Susie. Susie, welcome to Her Radio. We're very happy to have you on.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for giving me the platform to be able to speak about mental illness.
Tell us what Fast Girl, A Life Spent Running from Madness was all about.
You know, long story short, it was about me growing up feeling that I had to be the perfect child, the perfect runner, the perfect role model. And I grew up just thinking I was good at one thing and being a fast runner. I focused solely on that. My life got chaotic after my last Olympics, where I fell on purpose in the race because I couldn't handle the fact that I would actually come in last. It was easier to fall and have that as my excuse.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And then I guess my life goes fast forward. My brother, first of all, before that Olympics, my brother had died by suicide, and that particular race where I fell on purpose, I had put enormous pressure. I wanted to win in his honor. Now, fast forward, about 12 years later, I'm misdiagnosed with depression. Life got very difficult for me after my sport. They gave me a drug called Zoloft. Zoloft then, it's an antidepressant, obviously, you know that, and it's supposed to, with some antidepressants, take away your sex drive. They didn't know at the time I was bipolar, I didn't have depression. And
oh,
bipolar and the Zoloft, for some people, not a great combination. It brought on hypersexuality in me.
Yeah, some drugs do that, too. There are a few drugs on the market, antidepressants, that will cause hypersexuality. We know today. We didn't know it then.
Yeah,
so what happened because of that?
People have a hard time that don't have mental illness in their family or know of somebody putting their arms around this sex and this disease of bipolar. They just,
right.
they don't buy it. But what happened after that was my husband and I, 2 months, okay, I'm on the drug for 2 months, starting to change, being really a free spirit more so than ever, no inhibitions whatsoever. We decide to do the bucket list for our 20th wedding anniversary. We jump out of an airplane, which I never in my life could have done.
Wow.
So I do believe the drug contributed to that. We had a threesome. I do believe the drug contributed in a way that I had no inhibitions. Would I have done the threesome without the drug? I don't know. Maybe I would, maybe not. But after that threesome, something changed in me, and I didn't know it at the time, but I was having a manic moment. And I kept asking my husband, don't you feel this high? This is incredible. And he just kind of laughed it off. He said, yeah, that was great, but I don't understand what you're feeling. Then basically it was a 6-month progression of me becoming an escort. It wasn't overnight, something my husband and I agreed that we'd have an open relationship. And it ended up being open on my end to the point where my behavior was so risky, I couldn't settle for just hiring a gigolo once or twice. I had to then, after hiring the gigolo, take it up to become an escort. And that was the next high. And I had no ceiling to my limit.
Right. No boundaries.
Yeah. which now I know is normal in bipolar, and that's where that risky behavior can hurt yourself or hurt your loved ones around you, and I was doing both.
What was the point when you knew that you couldn't do this anymore? You couldn't be the escort, you couldn't, you know, continue this. What happened?
I was outed by this tabloid called The Smoking Gun, and they basically found me and outed me. They knew I was an Olympic runner, so a client had basically given the tip to this tabloid because he felt rejected because I couldn't see him one time, and he was actually in love with me. You have a way of making your clients feel like they're the best person in the whole wide world. So that was my down spiral really quick when I was outed.
Well, so what happened?
Yeah, we're sitting after, here on the edge of our chair here.
Yeah, after I was outed, I basically was suicidal, and I said, my life is over, I'm ruined, I'm done. And is my husband going to leave me? Is he going to take our child? He was never, ever going to do that. And he stuck by me because he saw that I was suicidal. And we got back to Malibu after I was outed in Vegas, obviously told our parents, which was the most difficult call of our life, and got doctor's treatment. They found out I was bipolar, slowly took me off Zoloft and put me on Lamictal, which honestly, nothing happened for the first month at least. Nothing changed in me. I was still the escort, feeling like Kelly. I still was slipping into my old behavior. I was drinking a ton. So nothing was happening. Even though I was getting the medical treatment, I was lying to my doctors so I could continue escorting.
So you had basically two personalities, right? In the book, Susie, it was Susie during the day and Kelly at night. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, when I went to Vegas, I was Kelly. And I, when I went back to Madison, Wisconsin, I became Susie. And I loved Kelly. I loved being Kelly. She was, you know, this badass who had no inhibitions. She was delusional. She could spend all the money in the world she wanted. She could seduce men. She could have this power. She could manipulate. And she just lived a wild, crazy life that in her mind seemed completely normal.
Where is Kelly now? Where is the Kelly Susie thing right now?
When I looked in the book, I talk about how Kelly is in the shadows. And I never wanted to say Kelly is completely gone. And it's almost like saying my bipolar is completely gone. And my bipolar will be with me for the rest of my life.
Forever.
Triggers will be there to try and pull me back into my bad, risky behaviors. But Kelly is just in the shadows. And there's a reminder of Kelly of how powerful I am and that I do have a voice. She's given me a different confidence in my life. But she is gone in that I can't go back to escorting because that world will kill me because of my bipolar.
Right, exactly. And you know, Susie, what I think is so fascinating too is that your husband's stuck by you through all of this. I mean, that's a lot to endure, right, for anybody.
Absolutely. And I always like to emphasize I'm not a victim in this whole story.
Right,
but
he
is a hero in that as soon as I was diagnosed, and this is where people can save lives, he focused on the disease.
Right, and this is, I think this is a huge, huge, you know, point. And I want everyone to run out and buy Susie Faber Hamilton's book, Fast Girl, A Life Spent Running from Madness. And it's very important you understand that mental illness, it manifested very much like what Susie is talking about, is absolutely to be taken seriously, and thank God you got the support you did. Susie, thanks for being on her radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robeson.
And thank you, Susie, for sharing your story. It's so important. You're listening to her radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stay well.